So you fall over as I raise my head. Someday I was thinking that I may find you dead, dying in my eyes, and dying is your heart, and dying is my soul, and my world is torn apart. Shaken in the distance, my head has no reply. Your heart is beating quickly, and then I find your eyes. In the name of my father and your sons, in the name of your daughters, take one breath and be at one.
Thanks so much, Jenna. I believe those are lyrics to a song as well.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear the song. Sounds beautiful. I have a name here I'm struggling to pronounce. I believe it is Legolen. Segolen.
So my first avail 2 months ago, I read in French, but now I'm writing in English. So there we go. We can all enjoy. So this little baby was born at the end of August, and it's about all the like random encounters in the streets, and some of you already know it. It's called Across the Streets. Across the street is where you see me. I'm lost in my thoughts, busy with a long list in mind. The surprise brings a smile to your face. You recognize me first. I wait at the crossing, gazing everywhere but in your direction. Across the street, you count the seconds till our eyes meet. You smile even more as I stay puzzled, questioning my memory. Across the street, you wait for me, waving softly. The light turns green, allows me to reach you. Across the street, I remember these unplanned reunions, meeting of minutes because neither of us can stay, or of several hours as time disappears while we chat. Who will find me? In the meantime, I'll keep wandering across the streets.
Thank you, Segolene. Could we get Philip Spillane next to the mic?
Thank you very much. This is a new one. And yeah, I'm retreating back to the phone because I want to take a break from my memory. This is to someone who has a very, very beautiful mind, and it's Shanabel. When we slow down, hear the wind fill us, call it an energy, and find a way to hold it together. And when we stand still on a path yellowed by lamps, everyone in their homes move so fast. When we watch through the windows, the people blur into a strange dance, a city of stories, each brick a different tale. We spy and stand still. And if we hurry, we can go wherever we want to. Interwoven between each building, an only set path is onward. Thanks.
Thanks, Philip. We're going to jump online now to Benjamin Burns.
Hello, Cork. I would like to dedicate this poem to a guy called Paul Corrigan. He is Sligo's finest bullshit minor poet. This piece is called Sound Worlds of the Amalga Beings, Sonic Observations from a Biotech Future. Cutting edge intertemporal recording technology has enabled a team of futurologists and field recordists to capture sound up to 100 years in advance of its occurrence, mapping out for the first time an aural history of the hereafter. This technology takes the form of a quantum time dispersal bot, QTTB, a microscopic technoform which, when projected to a given point in the future, detects molecular vibrations using a pair of ultra-sensitive nanophones attached to its punctiliar lobes. QTTB is programmed to tune in to the sonic environment in real time, beyond time, transcending past, present, and future, and to relay these sounds back to the linear present. The results are in, and they are truly terrifying. In 2024, a lab leak in California will see the release of a pod of xenobots into the wild. Xenobots are biological robots, reconfigurable organisms made from living cells. They have a rewritable molecular memory and can be programmed by exposure to specific wavelengths of light. Initially, scientists will remain unconcerned by the leak. Xenobots are considered harmless, and it is thought that they will soon perish. Not so. Liberated from the controlled environment of the laboratory and reprogrammed in response to sunlight and the Earth's electromagnetic field, the xenobots begin to behave in unusual ways, multiplying and invading the cells around them, scrambling genetic sequences and eroding the boundaries between organic and inorganic matter. Within months of the xenobots' release, Homo sapiens as discrete entities will cease to exist. Animal, plant, bacteria, virus, fungi, silicon, rock, all forms and materials dismantled and recombined by the xenobots' algorithmic behavior. Spectral analysis of the waveforms transmitted by the QTTV reveal a confusion of wonders near impossible to categorize. Technobats hone in on existential crisis, raindrops pitter-patter in quantized beats, watering cans sing lullabies to their tiny sprouted offspring, colored doves coo areas to passing rays of light, cannibalistic flowers shriek at the oblong moon, slabs of concrete pump abstract blood into the heads of Wi-Fi hedgehogs. Decaying cattle low at mobile lumps of clay, howler monkeys sing songs so complex and melodious they make shivering turtle leaves cry thermostats of mercury tears. Human lighthouses with gills illuminate the depths of the ocean. Blackbirds as vast as cathedrals emit supersonic bursts of noise. All molecules become potential tools and potential musicians. Music that is fixed without boundaries, that moves from beginning to end with no middle, shaped by the chemically flexible new chaos mind. And emerging from this disorder, the amalga beings, creatures neither living nor dead, synthesis of matter and light, DNA and binary code, possessing haptic feedback control systems that alter with use and malleable cochlea that contort and reshape themselves ad infinitum. Perception is inherently unstable and the sonic properties of Earth indescribably altered. Songs are no longer to be listened to or enjoyed, but the relief valve of anguished beings whose fundamental state is pain, autonomous war zones in the battle between nature and logic.
Well done, Ben. We get Ryan Morgan to the mic next, please.
Has it been there all the time? All right, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. This is called Easterly Blows Fiercely. Watch the struggle from the petrified shore. The sea roars, its booming guffaw spitting into faces,
with howling waves of turbulent mirth at the salty audacity shown by sailors seeking to speed into the easterly. Straight into the wind shrieks, laboring from the birthplace of the sun. Sails sought the sea, goaded by the gusts, boats beaten backward, unable to get a grip against the scrummaging rush. A mast snaps like a chicken wing, its hollow bone jutting jagged. The wounded craft flaps fitfully to the slip. Out in the tempest is a grief of sheets, tangled, whipped around. A cat's cradle of squally snarls. Booms swing with roundhouse kicks, stunning temple smashing lips. But they persevere into the easterly with bared bloody teeth, soaked with gleeful ferocity, bows proudly grinning into the gale, pulses racing faster than the current, and the laugh above the bluster. Lads, this is living!
There we go.
Thanks very much, Wayne. And with the most respect, I'm wondering, where did you come from? Because I haven't seen you before.
I'm from, well, from Wales. I live in Cove.
Of course. Is it your first time here?
What's my first time to speak?
From my accent.
I didn't realise I was entering a competition. I was like, is it okay if I come along and do I have to put my name down? And I all of a sudden I'm in a competition. I'm sorry I didn't revise.
That explains why you were so indifferent to the gong, so yeah, it's good. That's great. Well done. You reminded me of how my father always says he met my mother. He says, I walked across the dance floor. I didn't know there was a dance competition on, but I won it. So you're a bit like that. Okay, we're going to stay in the room. I hope we're Zoom contestants, or contestants. I'm doing it now. Mary O'Connell is here.
Thanks, Michelle. This is called Incoherent Definitions. Some find it difficult to make sense of misleading words. They think that carpe diem is Latin for fish of the day. That regurgitation might be the ultimate feedback. Quizzed about a loophole, they search for a long toilet brush. Call idiomatic a Ugandan washing machine and believe that frog spawn is the latest French blue movie. Mention magnum opus, they see a rotund Irish cat. Tell them to be frugal, they seek a search engine for fruit. The word sub judice conjures the Israeli metro. They think that palmistry is not knowing who your dad is. Or that a homophobe is the guy who hates the Simpsons. That inarticulate means stuck on the route to Dover. is these are slow burners. And that a transistor is a nun who was a mister. That syntax was the price that Boris paid for Partygate. Don't ask them to translate Sic Transit Gloria Mundi, or you may hear, on Monday, Gloria got sick in a transit van.
I was so excited when we saw you walk in earlier, and that's exactly why. Next up, Cedric Bacon.
Breaking dawn. Dawn. And she's gone. Just like the bygones. A conclusion to start the day. At least I won't have to walk in shame in this cold that freezes the living to the bone. There was nothing left to say, only to generate human heat from skin to skin friction, burn away what's left of us. The wedding, the bedding, the picture frames. I hope she'll catch a warm beam instead of my heart going cold, heavy, made of gold, that I flush in a split stream. Away, the last drops fall. The sun rises, sparkles, she's gone. I pray to see her again and ask for forgiveness once I'm finally grown.
Thanks, Ajay. We're going to jump online now to Matt Mooney.
An alternative for a title here would be Joie de vivre, the joy of living. And there's plenty of that around tonight in the long bar. On the Dublin train, free from dreariness at last, from the COVID lockdown and its damned outrages on our minds and bodies, listening to the even rhythm of iron wheels on rails and the swings and rattles of the speeding train, in haste from station to station, as we view the countryside comfortably together. There's joie de vivre in the air, coming from a trio now on board since Limerick Junction. A young lady in blue jeans, her knees fashionably exposed, engrossed in two young gents, happily accompanying her. Her laughter in wave after wave spreads the brightness of her soul, despite the mask that mugs her, until she fills the carriage for us with the exuberance of youth, gushing like bottled up champagne. Thank you very much.
So I think actually we'll stay online with our 5-word challenge winner, J. Jeff Cottrell. And also, Jeff, I have some books here for you that we're going to post out to you, just to let you know.
Thank you. I've already been told in the chat, so I'm looking forward to getting them. Ah, that's what they look like. Okay. All right. So I hope I haven't done this one here already. This is called An Honest Proposal. My dear, my love, please accept my hand in marriage. There's nothing more romantic I can think of. Just think of it. Think of the lovely life we'll share. Think of the rapturous wedding we'll hold. Think of the passionate honeymoon. Think of the limitless lovemaking. Think of the joy of stepping into our first house. Think of the tears we'll shed when our first child is born. Think of the pride we'll feel watching our child grow up. Think of the slightly fewer tears we'll shed when our second child is born. Think of the stretch marks you'll have. Just think of it. Think of the years of family dinners spent together. Think of the birthday parties and Christmas mornings. Think of the endless school hockey games and plays. Think of the countless sibling fights we'll break up. Think of the disappointing report cards. Think of the minimal amount of tears we'll shed when our third child is born. Think of the neglect our middle child will suffer. Think of the times our middle child will act out because of our neglect. Think of the moment the cop will tell us our middle child has been arrested for vandalism. Just think of it. Think of the dull daily routine into which our lives will plummet. Think of the day we'll stop going out without the children. Think of the evening sitting in front of the TV and never speaking to each other. Think of the passive-aggressive verbal jabs we'll poke at each other. Think of the moment we'll forget what we saw in each other in the first place. Think of the screaming arguments our children will overhear when they're in bed. Think of the slamming doors and hurled plates. Think of the silent treatments and insincere apologies. Think of the therapy bills our children will pay. Just think of it. Think of the night I'll catch you receiving cunnilingus from my brother's weightlifting trainer. Think of the condescending tone you'll adopt to mock my sexual inadequacy. Think of the tiny basement apartment into which I'll move. Think of the vicious, exhausting court battle we'll prolong for months. Think of the enormous legal bills and time wasted. Think of the way we'll make our children choose which of us they love more. Think of the friends we'll lose and the gossip they'll share. Think of the size my belly will grow as I just stop caring. Think of the botched plastic surgery that'll symbolize your desperate drive to stay young. Just think of it. Think of the thousands of lonely nights of TV dinners and masturbation. Think of the chronic online stalking of old high school crushes. Think of the, oh, you're leaving. I suppose you need more time to think. I'll be waiting here with this beautiful tungsten wedding ring. A life together. Just think of it. Thank you. That was an honest proposal. Thank you. Just so you know, I am going to be on tour on your side of the pond starting this Saturday. So I'm going to England and Northern Ireland and even Paris. So if you're there on Zoom or if you know anybody who's there, check it out. I will put the dates in the Cork. Maybe next year, Cork. We'll see. Maybe next year. I've gigged in Dublin. That's the closest I've come.
Did you hear that, Jeff?
I missed it. What was it?
Just say, come to Cork. Just think of it. Just think about it.
Ah, I will. I will think of it.
Well done, and congratulations again. And good luck in your tour. It sounds great. And please do share the information with us, and we will think about going to Dublin. And next up to the mic, we get Eleanor O'Brien, please.
Hello, I came to support a friend tonight, and on the way, my dad said to me, he's like, where are you going? I said, Cork, I'm going to a poetry slam. He said, oh, bring your poem. And I was like, no, I won't. And then I did. So this is the poem, also first time reading things in public. It's exciting, but no record. Yeah. Your support is welcomed. So this is called Honey Butter. And it was written on Friday, the 26th of August, 2022.
Wow.
Thank you. There's more. I am not necessarily trying to do anything or be anyone. I just had this feeling of my tummy turning to butter, soft yellow before liquefying under your stare that melted me. I am butter and you are honey. Not a combination that people seek out or want. We aren't even chalk and cheese, though we are both spreadable on toast. Me in dishes to make them creamy, and you in tea to soothe a throat. I wished we lived closer beside each other. You rich in gold, me gaudy and yellow like Simpson skin. Bees making you into pentagon shapes. There is a queen over you. And I'm going to take it as a thing, because the light's freaking me out. Sorry, I can't see it. Bees making you into pentagon shapes. There is a queen over you. I am churned through four stomachs and churned before I take shape, salt added or unadded. I have no queen, just a maker, just a process. Follow the guidelines to make me. Thousands of bees source the most beautiful flowers to make you, and I admit, I am jealous. You are a hobby that the hippies take to. I am lost. No one wishes to churn me up in barrels for hours, the arms going in the same motion, sore and sweating as a paddle goes round and round. You in a jar presentation day, me in a silver wrap. People with high blood pressure are warned of me. They know how I clog the lines of a heart, and I wish I clogged the lines of your heart. Then I would be close to you. Honey and butter. I want to be the butter to your honey. I don't care that it's obvious I'm getting the better deal. People look at us and whisper, but I'll be chuffed, honey on my arm. Moses spoke of a land with milk and honey. I was once milk. Maybe you could see me that way. Milk and honey named on shower gels hanging in showers, the white and gold symbols to represent. Could you see me for what I truly was? Look past this yellow jaundice color to my soul of what I was and what I came from. From a queen, bee, or a cow, either way, still taken and borrowed, never returned. And I want to be the milk to your honey, but the reality is I am butter to your honey. I will call you honey and you will call me butter. Honey butter babies we will have, and I will liquefy myself down, hot and searing to be mixed with you, to get into your crevices. I want you to envelop me, to suffocate me with your gold, to create something new in me so I cannot feel myself. Gold, the color of heroes, goddesses, and the crown you will forever be cast in. Hot, searing, honey. They promised us honey growing up, and I was promised honey. Thank you so much. You're also welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Eleanor. Delighted somebody told you to bring that with you tonight. Next up, I'm going to introduce a local poet of ours that's had her poetry film in the Indie Cork Film Festival this week, as did Paul and Rosie, as did John Horan. So a bit of a good watch for that. And this is Lorna Donovan.
Thanks very much, Michelle. This is a bit of work, bit of a work in progress, or that's my excuse anyway, if you don't like it yet. And but yeah, I said I'd read it out to see how it tastes. Binge. I'm off cigarettes, except those times I make an excuse to go down the village for an hour or two. I grab my bag, the one with the zip pockets stuffed with scrunch coils of polo rolls and loose mints buried like eggs in a sparkling, undone nest. In with body spray, deodorant, a collection of lighters mismatched like a section in an art gallery titled Contemporary Chaos, and a bottle of that vaguely green little hand sanitizer that eats all regretful scent except the chemical afternotes of itself. When I'm in the shop, marching to the cashier, guarding those black doors like they're filled with pornography, I'm as focused as lightning. I wish I could be as focused at my desk, at the blank page, or when my mother is telling me a roundabout story where we've already missed the exit five times. I imagine the life of the cashier as they turn to press the dispensing buttons, measure their words for the weight of judgment, but mostly they don't seem to care that theirs is the hand that presses the button on the automatic system that dispenses death sticks. I reach for the pack of Marlboro Gold after that digital tick of approval says I haven't yet burned all the money in my account. I go past the petrol pumps, the car wash, far down the back of the lot where there are two wooden tables with wonky cloth umbrellas occluded by a block of parked cars. The whole area is sticky from scraps of abracadabra left by the school-age teens on break for lunch, and in such a hurry to grow up, there's no time to put the rubbish in bins. The sky puppies don't mind, but instead swoop down and shake half-empty containers of garlic mayonnaise so seats and feathers alike get speckled white. I sit in my corner, where the line of cars offers some protection from sister-in-laws and moms from the school. I rip open the pack, remembering to put the little strip of plastic and silver paper somewhere I'll remember to throw away, as I'm now going on 20 years disposing of the evidence of this crime, and I suppose that makes me a master criminal. I light the first cigarette, and that first one is the best, not just because of the mild burn in my throat, in my chest, like a tight hug from a best friend I haven't seen much of lately, but because all the rest are still ahead and reality is still a long way past that. When I did this almost 10 years ago, sitting outside a supermarket on my break from work, I smoked three in a row and then vomited into a plastic shopping bag. I swore then I would never smoke again, but over the years, I guess I've improved in a perverse way because now I can easily smoke three and as many as six before I start to feel sick, nauseous, with a headache hammering on the frown lines between my eyes. I sit a minute to make sure I'm not too dizzy before I walk 10 meters to the red bins, cheerfully emblazoned with immortal ice creams that never melt, only fade with age. I throw away the rest of the pack along with the butts I've gathered up because an ornithologist friend told me once he was on a job where they had to cut open dead baby birds to determine how they died, and found the bird parents had fed their babies cigarette butts, one by one, like fat plastic worms. The butts filled the baby's stomachs like concrete, too big to leave and too jealous to let anything else in. And so the baby birds starved with full stomachs and died. Thanks.
Very much, Darren. I do have to say at this point we are under time pressure for the latter half of the open mic, so if you do have the option of reading a shorter piece, please choose that one. Next up we have Niall Hearn, please.
Tongue-tied, tied tongues, tongue-tied, tied tongues. We stayed up late all night speaking in tongues, yeah. A chance of fate in the interim. And I swear you won't take another one. City lights and blah, blah, what's on? I've been found and now I'm a lost son. I look in the mirror, I swear I'm not the only one. You see, sound slither softly, slowly, and sometimes I'm kind of soft, gooey, all bones on the inside. But my mind's mush sees it clearer than ever. That I've been picking fights with the fella in the mirror, and I know I said it before, that I've been seeing clearer. I want to spit words and then lick the fire, cause time is a drag on spliff and then split tired. No sweat like pre-spire, it's dire, but again with ye, I'll have to conspire. Cause we stayed up late all night speaking in tongues, yeah. We stayed up late all night speaking in tongues, yeah. My heart was heavy, I took it out for a while, now I've got no more words, so I just. Through the tongue came sound's essence, dull your senses, crack your skin and feel the feet beneath your feet, and eat your teeth, and crave the birth, crave the rebirth, and bless this curse, crave the rebirth, and bless this curse. Cause we stayed up late all night speaking in tongues, yeah. We stayed up late all night speaking in tongues, yeah. We stayed late up night speaking tongues. We stayed late night tongues. We stayed.
Thanks so much, Nan. We're going to jump online to Massimo.
Hello, always happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Can you hear me okay? maybe we need a new story. Somebody come and just tell us a story. What if the world that we see is an agreed upon story, and what's true becomes truth just by choosing your story? Stories we tell generations for ages, to find our locations across times and spaces, to raise up foundations that say what our name is and make out our faces in humankind's pages. Some stories explaining our roles in creation as told by our ancestors' close observation. Even small talk and waiting is folklore in the making when folks get together for stories exchanging. See the young and the elderly come in assembly, strengthening roots lest they loosen forgetfully. For any community losing identity, communion is truly a beautiful remedy. Passing down knowledge from son turned to father, from mother once daughter, a family honor, from spirit to soul where the fire's an altar as all gather round with a story to offer. So join a cipher with codes to decipher where you're the code writer. Rewrite yourself as the lover or fighter, the kiss or the sword, but the story is mightier. Maybe there's no information, just forms of our thoughts that form thoughts in formation. If facts can be changed just by clever arranging, then maybe stories tell truth that shows truths ever changing. We are all living history. Look what you've lived to see. Tell your own story as you prophesy what is to be. No need to tell the world all your love, joy, and misery. As you reveal yourself to yourself, you help us all reveal our mystery. Like webs we weave gather us, our tales spun unravel us. This world's patterns pattern us, but also are wrapped in us. The image we cast of ourselves cannot capture us. Like mirrors refracting us, may break, but can't shatter us. So, as our storm passes, we become forecasters who don't just see storms coming, but bring warmth for their passage. And can we change the past just by telling it backwards? We'll just tell our own future and choose what comes after. Peace and love. All right.
Thank you, Massimo. Always a pleasure. We're going to stay online with Pam Campbell, please.
Hey, y'all. Can y'all hear me okay? Good. I'm struggling with technology, but here we go. The title of this is Until Death Do Us. Excuse me. Until death do us part, you didn't say it, my new father-in-law insisted, popping peanuts handful after handful, pulverizing open-mouthed. Tossed and turned by tongue and teeth, his muddied saliva bit and chewed my marriage day. Until death do us part, you didn't say it. His son and I memorized our marriage vows, more meaningful, more personal, more binding, so I thought. I take you to be my husband, to have and to hold, not own, from this day forward. The night before warned, his goddamn fucking idiot rained hard when I, knees down in midnight grass, refused to stop searching for the tiny gold cross necklace precious to one unused to gifts. I ran, but returned, priest calmed. For better, for worse, binding sentence. For richer, for poorer. I, accustomed to lean days, didn't fear this. But he, figures possessed and stranger to how sides burn and ache with only one meal a day, did. In sickness and in health, a one-sided trade, to love and to cherish the hardest casualty. Till death us do part, I did say it. This is my solemn vow. I kept my promise, even when blue-black nights, fogged mornings drilled, a one-sided covenant. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ben. Hope you're keeping well. Next up, we're going to have Antonio, please.
Hi. So this poem is called The Secret of the Whale. Glaciers are melting. Layers of a body. The iceberg can be measured upside down. Enormous plaques of ice dream of rainbows and lullabies. Far in the profound north, close enough to the Arctic Pole, an old whale sings her last song. Sleeping in vertical line. The depth of the ocean is still unknown. Only a whale can know. Whales have different dialects, reaching in the depth the end of time. A fisherman from Norway used to speak with the whales. Interpreting the language of the trees and teaching them to reach the stars. Thank you.
Thanks, Antonio. Can we get Connor Frawley up next, please? Oh, there.
Hi. This is called The Paps. It's a mountain, Kerry. As my legs tremble, heart beats faster, sweat dripping into my eye as I power to the nipple. It reminds me of a passionate and intense night of lovemaking, working my way to the nipple so I can feast on the milk from the goddess Duna, fuel for my soul. The beauty and mystery of Mother Earth, her greatness, her unrelenting toughness, only to make it to one and go again. And again, and again.
Romina Connor. Next up, we have Daniel Scholl.
So this was last week. I woke before the sun, despite my trouble sleeping, because this is what I wanted, so I might sneak up on the day and get out ahead, run without traffic. I've been hesitant lately, but today I am determined. As I close the door behind me and press play on a podcast, which happens to be about Alzheimer's, which happens to be about death, which I think about often, even if no one wants to talk about it. I've been fortunate to hold it at a distance, except that once I held it closely. Her mind was gone that night, her wig was off, her teeth were out. Those soft blue eyes I'd always known were only filled with fear. She lay there steadily moaning without any speech. Noise filled the room. Aware of my presence, if not my name, I introduced myself again. I introduced my child, a toddler old enough to stand but unable to walk away, made to bear witness. 18 years later, living life like a trauma response, I've always wondered if I helped cause. But we came to say hello before we said goodbye. One last time, and I took her hand like a bird's broken wing. And I told her that I loved her, and I told her it's okay to go. And I saw solace one last time in the silence as we left. She was gone before the morning. I'm thinking of this morning, as I'm working up a sweat, while a couple of cyclists are keeping pace, talking cheerfully in a language I can't understand. I just want them to go ahead, because I can't go any faster. Before I set out, I read a message from my sister. Dad's in the hospital again. His heart's not strong enough for home. And I push on, hoping that mine will be.
Thank you, Daniel. Next up, we'll have Rosie O'Regan.
Hi.
I just want to say well done to all the participants. I think that was like incredible. And hats off to the judges, because your job is really hard. I entered once and I didn't get through. I know how it felt. It was shit. I didn't enter again. Let's put it again. I never entered again. So I wanna just, because it's all subjective, isn't it? And people speak to different people. And I want to just dedicate my poems to Mel White tonight. Now I'm going to read like two little haikus and a short poem, and they're for you, because I thought you were amazing, and I'm sorry you didn't get through. So two haikus. Seed pods burst, new beginnings wait, rain buds of forest. Roots sprout first, little leaves follow, earth and sky dance. And fallen tree. A fallen tree buds new leaves long after it came down. Year after year, new leaves. Branches that once spanned out now stand tall, their journey to treedom made possible by the fall. And I'll finish with an invitation. There is a path that is not paved. It knows your name, the one you have forgotten.
Thanks, Rosie. Next to the mic, we have Shauna Lee Lynch.
Thanks. I'm going to lower the tone altogether. I love pop music and rap music, but I get really annoyed when a new album comes out. Not annoyed, but like when every single song in the album is about sex. And like, on the one hand, I'm like, yes, queen, go off, etc. But on the other hand, I'm like, all right, like, and then I feel like a bad feminist, and this is about this. Hey, DJ, I have a request. Can I please hear a song that's not about sex? I love pop stars and rappers even more than the next, but I get a bit jaded at the emphasis that's placed on genitalia. It is impressive to have so many synonyms for one's vagina and whole albums inspired by bums. But wouldn't it be fun, for the hell of it, to hear a song about something different? I appreciate the sentiment. I'm not promoting censorship. For centuries, women's sexuality was concealed. It's a big frickin' deal to be so celebratory. Obviously, I get that it's important. I'm not dumb. I was there when Christina and Lil' Kim invented modern feminism. Wherein lies my dilemma with the current trend is the focus tends to ultimately be on the fella, which is fine or whatever, but when every single song is about raising intermittent organs, it's like, come on, that's Stockholm syndrome, promoting some nonsense that a woman's self-worth lies in sexual prowess. Nonetheless, for all of existence, the female anatomy has been reviled yet fetishized. Music helped revolutionize body positivity and owning your sexuality, and there is a need for that. I'm not an advocate we should act like nuns, humming PG songs, genuflecting in the club like all you ladies pop your piety like this. No. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm part of the problem. A millennial feminist accidentally shaming Gen Z progressives for singing about their hoo-ha just because I don't like that every song sounds like a souped-up Kama Sutra. So let's look at this here a second line. Dissect why I'm dismayed. No shade, but I came of age in a world where girls were told to be sex objects. All that's unfolded to us being treated different. Generations all fucked up in the head from it. Chocked full of complexes from prehistoric gender boxes. So sorry if I'm skeptical when every song is so sensual. My first reaction is no, girls. Stop feeding the hegemonic masculine narrative. But to be honest, that's probably my internalized misogyny just exhibiting shame about being female. And I've dissociated so much from the gender prescribed at birth that the qualities we've attached to that identity feel alien to me and thus creates uncertainty if these songs are truly liberating and not some patriarchal Trojan horse. But of course, I get it. They have a deeper purpose. They are, after all, a sort of protest. Tributes to the clitoris in a world where women's bodies are still being policed is a radical act of defiance. We need a pussy riot, a WAP crusade, because what's the alternative? The Handmaid's Tale? Some people would have it that way. So hey, DJ, I'm converted. At the end of the day, it's all just performative. So who am I to pass judgment? My doubts are rectified. Okay, that's a lie. I'd still like a bit of variety and other topics of discourse in amongst all the songs about intercourse. But I recognize the nuance and respect the candor. So screw it, just hit play. I'll see you on the dance floor.
We just started, but I'm sure. Next up to the mic, we got Cara Kirsch, please.
We have horse blinkers on our intuition, only allowing ourselves a set scope of vision. Dissonant to our cognition, we unfold, holding our time like sand that is trapped within someone else's fingers. We give up our own grains out of an instilled guilt and shame, out of a feeling we were born to rectify sins that were never ours to hold in the first place. Our emperor has no garb on, but he is full up to the brim of garble. Collective blindness draws down our heavy eyelids like closing curtains as to not let the outside light in. These grains we hold slip and ephemerally flit into the seabed that lies between us as islands. When the sediment stirs up, we feel wordless feelings swirl, ones that can be felt even when the face is frozen and words are left unspoken. As universes, we swivel around each other, invisible planets in our orbit. I can see the membrane of your flesh, but not what sparks inside it. There is a depth of us in the waters. Deep blues hide these hidden islands. I can only hope to get to know these through the color of your iris.
Thanks so much, Cara. We have Brendan Duffin up next, please.
So for 10 years, there was a campaign, a national campaign, a local campaign, to prevent the destruction of the Tara archaeological complex in County Meath. Eventually, after the court case, people stood in front of the diggers. This last two or three years, but eventually the road was built. So I was one of the ones that was actually there. And this kind of story has been kind of forgotten, really. Not many historians really talk about it. So it needs to be written about, it needs to be talked about. So this is my take on what happened. Chower. The hill of Tara, the hill of Screen, the valley at the heart of her, the flowing River Gara. All one body, the old kingdom of Tara. 7 millennia of history, stories of our communities, precious, priceless, irreplaceable, patrimony of humanity, her civilizations buried, our ancestral memory, our legacy, era. Early 21st century, Dublin, the centre of economic activity, commuter towns of Cavan and Meath growing rapidly, car use rising exponentially, people stuck in traffic daily, petrol consumption, new car production, housing overvaluations, mortgage obligations, little time to question the direction of the nation, no trains through the villages. So few buses in this booming economy, at public consultations, no choice but to choose between routes for new roads and motorways. Celtic Tiger Democracy for the Tara Valley. A proposed four-lane motorway, the M3. A proposed toll to pass through Tara daily. A political decision. A highway dividing farms, communities, families, ecologies, a county, a country. Her Green Valley. The cemeteries and cremations of Collierstown, Ardsalla, Screen and Castletown. The Raff of Garrettstown, the Raff of Ross, the Longhouse of Trevitt, the Blundellstown Neolithic Settlement, Boyerstown, Ballinter, the Sioux Terrains of Rosetown, Mesolithic Clownstown, the Feasting Grounds of the Huge Raff of Barnstown, Raff Lou, the Woodhenge of Lismullen, her oak, her ash, her white fawn, her black fawn, her beech, her elder, her habitats, her hedgerows, her hillocks, her holly, her hazel, green richness of her ground, ancestral, her quiet places, the Dalgan Park public amenity, her river Gower and Skeaney, her streams and tributaries. All this became the target. Tara became the enemy. In 2003, a legislative amendment allowing the government to demolish any national monument. Grave robbery, now scientific discovery. Veneer of objectivity on a strict budget, timeline, salvage archaeology, retrieve, record, photograph, clock ticking, move quickly. Bulldozers wait to destroy each site completely. Private archaeology companies without comment or opinion, calculating the bill for each excavation. On TV and computer screens, in showrooms, shop windows, industry press releases and political manifestos, in newspapers, on billboards, in the purchases of neighbours, the message was repeated. Many began to believe, subtly, blatantly, it was daily decreed that Tara was dirt, dead, the past, excavated, violated, poverty, lazy, pots and pans, pishogue, savagery, sentimentality, subjectivity, holding us back, uncompetitive, inconvenient, inefficient, insignificant. The message was repeated. It was daily decreed. The people repeated the message. Many believed. Jower. The early warning, nothing, no one was safe. Headed for bank bailout, joblessness, bankruptcy, austerity, housing crisis, homelessness, suicide, the crash of 2008. Through pen, court case, protest, election campaign and petition, a community came together to try to halt Tara's destruction. Coppicing hazel and ash to build their camps, they kept watch, refused to give up, rose early at dawn, stood in front of the diggers, blockaded the machinery stopped.
Now, guys, we're being a bit bold. We've three left. We're going to squeeze them in anyway, right? So, Mo O'Connor, are you there?
How you doing? A short poem as requested. And this is a haiku poem for John Cage with accompaniment from the busker Alec, who kindly stopped as I'm just very fitting, isn't it? There is no silence, even in 4:33, said John Cage one time. Death will not mute us. The hum of the universe will go on and on. No one could predict around 1952 a silent music. One David Tudor stared straight ahead and waited for the final bar. Then he stood and bowed, while the silence that was heard travelled round the globe. And so they argue, back and forth, they won't give in. Cage, it's only Zen. And thank you to Alex for silence during the poem.
Thanks very much, Mo. Next up, we'll have Sam Knott to the mic, please.
Right, I have two things I need to say. The first one is way more important than the second one. I bought a pack of cigarettes earlier and I smoked two and I've lost the fucking box. If anybody finds a pack. Hey, there we are. Brilliant news, brilliant news. It's been a good day, it's been a good day. I've got my cigarettes back, and the second thing I need to say is that my funded campaign to record my album along with this book reached its target today on the final day, so thank you. So thank you to everybody who contributed. I'm absolutely thrilled. For me, the big news, it means I can go and record the album and actually pay the musicians and producers for the contribution, which all these people have helped me out for free over the last number of years. So that's a big thrill for me. So thank you. So I'm going to read a short poem from my new collection called Found. Yeah, thank you. It's an old one, and this is for Shauna. She was brilliant as a judge. She kept me in my place when I was getting excited. You know it anyway, she. Someday I will understand. Dear diary, the girl in the mirror looks perfect tonight, like Mona Lisa, but stronger. So why should I be sad and guilty? Why do stupid, crazy, chaotic things, rebellion, pornography, trouble? The girl in the mirror doesn't know what it's like to be me, dear diary. How deep in my heart I feel toxic, lonely, infectious. And she'll never get the piece of me that comes out when they turn on the night. I am hooked on that freak show, dear diary. Deep in my heart, a dirty girl in lace and leather thinks this dramatic quicksand is a perfect lover. But what you see is what you get. And my only wish is the girl in the mirror will email my heart the answer to my weakness, so I can let go of the bad girl and the love that just yesterday I was anticipating will come and get me.
You should say it's pretty, bitch.
So that poem was constructed using Brittany Bitch song titles.
Thanks so much, Sam. I'll wait till afterwards for my comments. Yeah. And sorry for the abuse earlier. I hope everyone understood that it was all a bit of a joke. Big fan of Stan's. So our final reader on the open mic tonight is Sorel.
Hi everyone. You're all great, and I'm terrified to do this. I wrote this in 2002, and it didn't have a name until tonight. So I'm going to call it Robin. And I actually wrote it initially in pencil, so it's incredibly hard to read in this light, and I tried to transcribe it with a broken pen down there. But here we go. It's also a song. Walking through the streets and hills, valleys of the world, I came across a bird's nest. It crushed me with its words. The bird, it spoke of freedom, liberty, equality, and the bird, it knew just one thing, and that's that I was never free. It spoke to me of life and strife in all its trivialities, and when my mind, confused by speech and time, consumed the wisdom and was brought beyond the laden wastes of thought, through barren drifts of action, I realized I was lost in voids so black, thick, and ashen. Neither world nor bird was there to me as senseless motions fell the tree. As senseless motions caught the tree, I'd felled with my perceptions. The nest fell, cracking my eyes to tears. My flighty friend made no rebuke, but gifted me with silence. The face made no expression. No voice this time, nor prose or rhymes, just a breath and chirp the lesson. With open arms and grace and charm, flew off to its own discretions.
Thanks so much, Sorel. Will you come back and sing it for us in November?
I will come back and
Okay.
Thank you, Bogus.
All right, guys, I want to thank a few people now. Wait till the end and give a huge applause at the end, all right? I want to thank everyone that entered the 5-hour challenge at the start of the night. It was brilliant. And to our winner, Jeff Cottrell, online. I want to thank everybody who competed in the slam tonight. You were all unbelievably fantastic. I want to thank our guest reader tonight, Abby Oliveira. Mm-hmm. Our runners up, Lauren McNamara and Kieran McCartan, and our winner, Jim Crickard. And finally, I want to thank our judges and everybody you read on the open mic tonight. Will of us.